It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, I bring you Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man? Welcome back from spring break. You traveled a lot. I traveled a lot, too. You actually probably spent about the same amount of time traveling, except you went somewhere exciting, and I drove to Duluth to deal with a blizzard for 5 days.
Well, and the fun part was, you know, I mean, like, I don't like mentioning where I've been traveling till I'm kind of back, just generally speaking. But yeah, no, now we're back.
That's smart.
I posted some photos today of this too, but we were in Germany, Austria, Liechtenstein, and Switzerland for a little bit. So we went through Lucerne. Yeah. We went through, we were in, you know, München, Munich for a bit, and Cologne. We went up into the Alps to Mount Pilatus. Which apparently there's a legend that Pontius Pilate was buried on the mountain, which doesn't make any sense. Why would he be in Germany?
That'd be some major logistics.
Switzerland. That one's, yeah, Swiss Alps was where we were.
Still major logistics to get a body that far.
Right? Why? Like,
and they didn't have embalming techniques back then. It would have stunk.
Yeah. And why would he go to the mountains? It doesn't make any sense. Either way. I don't know. It was cool. Seen a lot of cool, fun things and getting a lot of great pictures. And my fun story for this, since we have a little time, is just that at one point we were going to the Hauptbahnhof in München, meaning basically the station for the subway, which they call the U-Bahn or the Unterbahn, you know, the under road, basically.
Place for the Mavericks.
Yeah. And we go down there, and there's a whole bunch of shops and stuff, so they give everybody some time to go around shopping and find things. I took my oldest and my wife, and we went and found a place that had like a bunch of, you know, meats and everything. It was all cooked, and just, you know, I got Schweinshaxe, which is amazing, and everyone should try it because it's just incredible. It's a pig hock that is roasted, and it's just the most tender, delicious, beautiful thing. It's great. And we got that because you can't find that outside of maybe Milwaukee. It's hard to find. Oh, it's so
good. I've never heard of it.
Oh, Schweinshaxe is fantastic. If you're in Germany, Schweinshaxe, Weisswurst, and Schweinebraten. There's three things that you should have. And then a brat, too, if you can. But you can get those here. So these are three things you don't find much. Mm-hmm. So I go get that. Ainsley and Abby went with a bunch of the other kids, and they went to Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's Starbucks.
Donuts, yeah, right.
I was like, what? Like, you didn't have to go to Munich to get a donut, especially a Dunkin' Donuts donut. So yeah, no, I made
it's
fun.
It's the Eddie Izzard bit. Yeah, he's a donut.
He's a donut. He's a Ein Berliner now.
It's an Ein Berliner, which means I am a donut.
He's a chili donut. It means he's American, man. Yeah,
he's American, man.
The people of Frankfurt, I am a Frankfurter.
Frankfurter.
But you know, it was a good time. We had a great time trying to watch my sports as I'm going through Germany has been an adventure as well. Times are all weird and everybody's tired. My whole family passed out very early today.
Yeah, and I can imagine. So, well, that's better than mine. I spent about the same amount of time traveling as you did, driving across the great state of Wisconsin, seeing all of it on the way up to Superior. And then it was a 5-day blizzard, John. That's too bad. Of which I had to drive through most parts of, and then we ended up the trip at Chula Vista Water Park, which is underrated. Oh. It's a little dated, but underrated all the same. So get there. We had to give after a funeral, and you know, it's like the VRBO commercial. Like, grandma's house is not a spring break vacation. and that's 100% right. So after all the grandparents and blizzard, the kids did get to partake in Chula Vista. And for anybody who knows Chula Vista, there's a lot of steps in there to get to the top of that platform to go down those tube rides. And so your boy here got about 14,000 steps in, I figure. It is a gross exaggeration, but whatever, 210 times about 40 is, which is more like 14,000 steps. But either way, so I digress. Math's not my strong suit.
I don't
have a lot of strong suits. But we can talk about sports.
Yeah. Well, we've caught everybody up on everything that happened in the week that we were out. Yeah, let's get rolling with everything. And we'll all start it off with a segment of our show that we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
So main event, we will start with the Bucks this week. They're still wrapping up the season. At this point, there's 7 games left, it looks like. Bucks had a rough one today. This one doesn't make sense. So, I mean, like, in the recent little stretch, they've lost 3 of their last 4. At the Pelicans, I mean, tough road loss. They get a double overtime game against the Lakers in an oddly low-scoring affair for double overtime, 128-124. Just, you know, those couple things. I mean, one of those is a road game, whatever. They get the road win against the Hawks, which is fantastic. But then still, finishing off this road trip here by losing to the Wizards makes just no sense to me.
Well, me and Holly watched it wire to wire, too, and basically the Bucks couldn't make a shot. Lillard out is bad, and then it was Giannis in the backups. It was a lot of him and Crowder and Bobby. Bobby, who's been playing very well, but a lot of Connington, Pat Bev, like that's what it's been. That's what it's been the last couple games too. And I believe I don't have stat sheets in front of me. That's the third straight game Dame's been out now. It's personal, and then 2 injury outs because he didn't play the last game or this game. And,
well, he played the one against the Pelicans, but he hasn't played the last 2 now with
groin injury. So, and I think the Bucks are in a place right now where if they're number 2 or number 3, it really doesn't matter. There's not a preferable matchup between 2 and 7 and 3 and 6. Like, it really doesn't matter. The top 4 teams in the East, it doesn't. And then Boston's got 11.5 game lead. They're not catching Boston. So at this point, it's get healthy going into the playoffs. And Doc Rivers said as much, you know, a couple games back when Giannis had to miss a couple games because of injury as well, because, you know, he's like, I need you in the playoffs, which is a great attitude to have. It's very different from Bud, you know, I think, and definitely not a Nick Nurse kind of attitude like we were praying to have, I think. But, I think he's right. He's letting people, and people got to remember too, Dame's dealing with some serious personal stuff off the court, which can really drag someone down at work. Yeah. And getting these bench players time, I really wish we'd see more of Marjan. And we saw some AJ tonight, but, you know, as long as we're going to just be running people out there to see what they can do, I wish there was some of the younger players. But I really think, you know, like you said, lost 3 out of the last 4. None of them have been blowouts. Tonight's game against the Wizards was really weird, though. The Bucks couldn't hit a shot to save their... It was right about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They made 3 offensive rebounds. Connington shot a 3, missed, kicked him back out to him, missed another one, kicked one out to AJ, missed it. And then I think it was Bobby finally got another one and laid it in for 2. So, the second chance points were 19-2 for the Bucks by the end of the game, which just says that they weren't making their shots tonight. And the Wizards couldn't miss. Jordan Poole was on it. Davis from the Bucks last year was on it. It was a really odd game. Like, you don't want to lose to the Wizards, the second worst team in all of basketball, just barely above the El Pistones of La Detroit.
They only just barely passed them recently because they were below them for a while.
And it's because of Poole and Davis, you know, like they've got good young and Divijon is another guy who's really good on their team. He's got the second most games with 5 rebounds and 5 assists, only behind Ant from the Timberwolves. So, I mean, they got some really good young players. The problem is Yeah.
Yeah.
D-I-G-V-A-N or something like that. Or
Avdija. Yeah.
Avdija. Yeah. I mean, his stat line's amazing tonight. Yeah, he had, really good. And he's been good this year.
Yeah. He put up 23 in this one. He, even going 0 for 5 from 3, he gets 23 points in this game. 8 rebounds, 5 assists.
I mean, I really think the Bucks are taking I think they're really just idling it into the playoffs right now, which you don't want. You want to finish the season strong, but at the same time, the Bucks aren't spring chickens anymore. This isn't the team of 5 years ago. Like, everything's changed. It's an old team now. You want that team fresh going into the playoffs. And if there's a team that – if there's a coach that knows how to do that, whose only good run to the playoffs through the playoffs was Doc Rivers, it was with a bunch of old guys when he was in Boston. And so maybe he's managing the team like that. You know, Chris and Giannis, Chris and Dame aren't young. They're in their – you know, the other two of them are in their early 30s and one in his late 20s. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Giannis continues to just tear it up. He's a 30 and 15 machine. Like, it's
in a triple double today. He got his 10th assist. So 35, 15 and 10. I mean, you get the triple double from Giannis and then it's the second chance stuff. Like, this is the weird part. Like the Bucks in most of the statistical categories you're looking at did better. They were the better rebounding team. They had more blocked shots. They just did not shoot at high a percentage. Mm-hmm. Washington was making more of their shots. They actually made more total baskets, just slightly, but they did it on far less shots. The Bucks were they were getting more shots because they could get to the rebounds.
Their offensive rebounding was amazing tonight.
They just didn't take advantage of that. So,
they had 19 second chance points on 16 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, this is gross.
That should be 30, 16 and 30. You
fast
know,
break
like maybe
points.
Miss one.
Fast break points. The Wizards were able to get up and get going. They're a young team. That's the thing they got to do. I mean, they made it work. I'll say this. I mean, good for them for not quitting on the season. They could be coaching and trying for that pick, but you know. You get Poole in a first-round pick. Not that there's anything in this. Quite honestly, there's nobody in the draft class coming out this year that I'm all that horribly excited about.
Did you see the kid from North Carolina? They're talking about being drafted in the NFL.
No.
6'9", 265 pounds. The big kid. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I'll say this. This, if we're going to go silver lining here, we're going to go, you know, duckies and bunnies on the thing. The one thing I'll say is nice is Middleton looks like Middleton. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't look like he's still kind of broken and came back too early. It looks like he got himself kind of right here. I mean, he's shooting better. He's moving better and he's making his shot. He's creating his shot way better than where he was when he came back from the injury the first time last year. Because he didn't look right. He didn't move like he normally did. But Middleton looks like Middleton right now. He looks like the guy you expect him to be. Beasley's...
Like I always say, the guy without hyperbole that can play like Kobe Bryant did.
Can.
Not all the time, but he can.
Yeah, Beasley has cooled off significantly. And that's problematic,
really,
and yeah. I would like to see him go. So this is the opposite of silver lining. I don't know what that is, but just the gray cloud, I guess.
The poop lining.
Without Dame out there, it's hard. Maybe then the other problem is just, you know, Beasley becomes your kind of your top 3-point guy.
It makes you miss Allen right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Beasley went 1 of 10 from three.
Allen's still playing well for the Suns too, like.
Yeah.
Say what you say about Grayson Allen. He wasn't like this, I'll tell you that much. We thought that Malik Beasley had reconstructed his career here in Milwaukee, and it's no, it's not. So.
He did great for the first half of the year. He has definitely cooled off in this bit here. If they're going to go somewhere in the playoffs, they are going to need him to be a role player who can do something with three-pointers specifically. So that's going to be something to watch is can he get something rolling here? Also, I mean, Dame Lillard is out with a groin injury, and, I mean, there's 7 games left. Bucks are up by 2 on the Cavs, right?
I wonder how much of that is actually a groin injury because one of the days was a personal day, and I know that they can't just do personal days anymore because of that load management thing. So I wonder if they're running subterfuge, smokescreen, something to like cover it out on what's going on. Because I know that early on in the season, it was brought up that he had some real personal issues that were, you know, like wife and kids stuff out in Portland. So I wonder if they're trying to let him get that sewn up before they get to the playoffs. So,
yeah, actually the team I'm looking at now that's probably more concerning is just, I mean, Cavs are two back. They've been in a little rough patch here. They had that big run that they made kind of right before the All-Star break where they got themselves up to the two spot. They were hanging in. They've fallen back a little bit. They've not really been playing in that same tempo. They just haven't.
Do you remember when Halliburton was being considered for MVP?
And
speaking of someone that was hot earlier but not. Yeah. So who concerns you, John? What team?
The Magic are on a good run right now. And this is the time of year you want to be on that run. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They fought their way up. They passed the Knicks and the Pacers now. They're only three games back of the Bucks. They're a game back of Cleveland. I kind of want to see, what do they got here down the stretch? So they're going to get Pelicans, Hornets, Bulls, Rockets at the Bucks, at 76ers, and then home for the Bucks. So we'll get them twice, too. So that'll be an interesting one there because they have really pulled together a good string here in the last bit. And that's an interesting team to kind of watch here make their moves as the regular season folds up.
I was going to say silver lining stuff. I do forget that we didn't do a show last week with spring break. But, you know, we were talking about how the Bucks have lost three of their last four to the Lakers, Pelicans and Wizards.
Yeah.
Before that, though, and coming off a bad, you know, I forget we didn't have a show last week, so we didn't even get to talk about it. Let's talk about silver linings. It's coming off a really bad West Coast road trip where they lost to the, you know, they beat the Clippers and then got smoked by the Kings. They came back and then, they lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Lakers. They barely beat the Clippers again, who they have their number, and they got smoked by the Kings. Came back home and they beat an Embiidless 76ers team. And then when they had the full squad together, they took it to the Suns in a 140-129 loss. And then barely lost to the Celtics in Boston.
Yeah.
Then went to the Nets and did what you need to do to the Nets. Mm-hmm. The most impressive one, because we didn't talk about it, because this would have happened the Sunday before would have been the show last week. The Thunder with Gilgeous Alexander and a very young, good team. Not a lot of experience. Not sure what they're going to do, but OKC is on the up and up.
Correct.
But once again, like they do against teams, just like against the Celtics and other teams with some of these big name players, they shut down SGA and they put a whooping on the Thunder at home that night.
Like they did.
They ran the Thunder off the court. The Thunder are NBA championship contenders this year. Will they win it? No. They also have maybe because of their youth. They might. You don't know. Like they have as good a chance as anybody in the West. They have one of the best young players in the league. And that was the last time it was the big three were out. Well, everybody was out there. It was full squad. The Bucks had the team together, regrouping after West Coast, couple games home, back to Boston, back home against the Nets, stuff like that. And you could tell it was a concerted effort against that Thunder team. And that was what makes me feel good about this team. It's like when they are completely healthy and they are together, 118-93 is not even as close as that game was. They really whomped the crap out of the Thunder, who are what, second in the West right now?
Double checking
in the West. They're up there with.
They're first right now, actually.
First right now. Got up to first.
They are all tied.
The
Wolves,
all tied.
Wolves, Nuggets, and Thunder all tied. I guess they have the Thunder getting whatever, I don't know what tiebreakers work with a three-way tie for first, but either
points,
way.
But yeah, either way. So, I mean, the Bucks smashed the Thunder that night. And then since then, you know, like you said, Bailey lost to the Lakers. The Lakers are getting a lot of calls right now. Let's just put it that way. Pelicans are a young up-and-coming team. They really took it to the Hawks. Tonight's Wizards game. I mean, half the time it was either Giannis or Chris with all the backups. Or Brooke with all the backups. Like, and they couldn't hit a shot. I'm not worried. Okay. And they've got a 4-game homestand coming up now against the Grizzlies, who I don't know how much
they're eliminated already.
I don't know how much they're invested in the rest of this year. The Raptors, not invested. Knicks, maybe. And then Celtics. The Celtics game is going to be big. Sorry, 5-game homestand, because then they play the Magic.
The last game on April 10th. But then, yeah, their last 2 games, which hopefully don't matter. It would be great if they didn't matter, and the Bucks should try to play so as those games don't matter, because they're going to finish going to OKC, who you just talked about correctly, really good. And I don't know what OKC will have to play for, but they're in a tight race there for first.
I didn't realize they're all tied. That's really weird that we just looked at it at the same time.
Oh. Yeah, and the Magic again. Like, that's a team that if they're peaking at this right time here, that could be problematic down the stretch because we're going to play them twice. On the 10th and the 14th. So, yeah, we'll see how this last 7 goes here. The Bucks are going to be in. It's just going to be somewhere between 1 and 4. And then we'll see how the play-in games go and how that all works itself out.
And they're not going to be first. So maybe that's why I said maybe that's the reason why they're resting. I should ask a friend of the show, Pete, if he wants to come in next week. Maybe, or is Widener next week?
No, actually, Wendy's coming in next week, so we can talk some Brewers with her.
Wendy's coming next week.
Next than this one, so
we'll get friend of the show Pete in just before the playoffs.
Yeah, once during the play-in games or something. Yeah, we should.
Because I know he's yelling at his earbuds right now about half the stuff I'm saying. Anyways,
that's fine.
He's a staff officer.
He's a rage monster. I can see.
I'm enlisted. I just assume that's what he's doing, anyways. So.
Yeah, he's just a rage monster. You can see it in his eyes.
He's the meanest person. He's the meanest person I've ever met in my life. It's not even close.
All right. Well, in terms of college basketball, there is no more Wisconsin college basketball. Not for this state, not for any of the teams left.
Remember when the Bucks gave us a nice run in the Big Ten, and then they lost, and then they lost?
The Badgers, it just... First off, we'll just do the Badgers quickly because we totally called this, but they 100% did nothing in the tournament. And we told you that. We told you they were going to lose in the first round. I've picked them to lose in that first round game. There's nothing surprising about the fact they lost to James Madison because that's just exactly what was going to happen. And so just, yeah, it was a terrible, terrible, dumb thing. And they just... It was going to be tons of three-pointers, and it was going to be just James Madison getting the shots and making their plays and going faster, and Wisconsin just did not find ways to capitalize on the things that they had the ability to take advantage of. They just didn't. They had all the height in the world.
And I know that, like, James Madison was kind of a
Yeah, they're a darling. That team was ranked top 25 at different points. That's a good team. So, yeah, this you're right on this. It's just, yeah.
I mean, James Madison too. Like they were a tournament like a diaper dandy and gumdrop city. How does this work? No, diaper like dandies are freshmen. Sorry.
Anyways. Yeah, yeah. Somewhere in there, but yeah,
it's working through it right now. But no, like everybody's like, oh, James Madison, like everyone even called it, like, well, geez, Wisconsin got the worst 12 seed ever. Well, yeah. Then James Madison got just the Dukes lost to Duke by almost 40 points, you know, like it's not like they were that great. It was like I remember I had a wrestling match in high school where one of the guys did just nothing but head and arm toss where he, you know, he just get slammed to the mat.
Okay.
His name was Carlos. And so, and everybody knew that's what he was always, headhunting. He was always looking for the head and arm toss, right? And I beat him 5 out of 6 times I wrestled in high school. But one time in one of our matches, like, I just, it's like, you know it's coming, and somehow you still fall prey to it. Like, you should do everything you can to not lose to this team or lose to that person because you know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And everyone told the world, like, here's how James Madison is going to beat Wisconsin. And then they beat him in said fashion.
Yeah.
Which is a fireable offense for guard. Like, it's like, here's the way James Madison is going to beat you. And then they did. You know, it's, I don't know. They had some hope after they took out Purdue. Everyone hates Purdue. Everybody hates Zach Edey.
Which I don't get. I mean, like, I get the calls, I guess. But I'm like,
yeah,
dude can play. I mean, he's not going to do much in the NBA if he goes there. But I'm like, he's just, he's like a really good college basketball player. He has been for 2 years in a row.
They had so much momentum, and then they just got worked by Illinois, and then they just got worked by James Madison. Like, just worked. Like, yeah. Here's my lead pipe. I'm going to take this to you, and you're not going to get out of here. 2 games in a row. And it was just like, it was a bad look for Wisconsin basketball. It really was.
Yeah.
And now, of course, you know, Esiason has hit the transfer portal. And AJ Storr is in the I might get drafted or not portal. So,
well, yeah, if he doesn't get drafted, he's also transferring. And so, yeah, that's bad.
One because he was the heart and soul of the team and then just didn't get played, and the other one made the team what it is, and here we are. So,
well, and Gus Yeldon, the guy we were talking about, the power forward they were excited for, their big pull in their recruiting from last year, he's leaving. Mm-hmm. Sounds like they had some problems with him. He didn't travel with the team to the last one, too, so I don't know what else was going on there. But
I hope he enjoys his time at Youngstown State.
Yeah, well, I don't know where he's going to go, but we'll find out. He's in the portal now, too.
I'm just guessing. Pine Bluff.
But there have been some other, I guess, places.
Mexico State.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Lobos. The Badgers did get a transfer out of, what's his name? He's out of Stanford, a guy who averaged 13.5 last year, and so that's you know, what they're pulling in. But yeah, I mean, like, they basically aren't, this is, I'm caught here because, Aaron, you know, I've never been on the fire guard crew. You know, it's Scary Alvarez constantly tweeting about that, the fire guard group of people. I've not been in that group. I have not been calling for him to be fired. Not at any point during this, because I was like, no, he gets to work through this. He gets to this, and, you know, he's earned a chance to do this.
And after the Purdue game, like, fire guard group was in a corner.
They were very quiet. Hard. This is the only part that really gets me. I mean, that was a bad matchup. We all thought Wisconsin was going to lose for several different reasons. The biggest problem I have is these guys aren't getting better under guard. Like, Esiason got worse from year one to year two, disappeared, did nothing. Yeldon never became anything and then left. Couldn't find the floor on a team that we're playing winter out there, you know, just because, you know, Wall keeps falling out. We needed the height. We needed the rebounding help at different times when we were doing things, and he couldn't see the floor. And just so many things going on there where we couldn't get freshmen to get better. Chucky got better this year. I'll say that. Chucky Hepburn got better this year after his sophomore year was kind of a bit down. But the other thing is just,
I think Chucky was more peer pressure than anything else.
Like, yeah. No,
I think enough of his teammates were like, dude, this is your team. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think he just felt he had to take the shots. And I get that to an extent. But at the same point, like, you just had a season, and now, you know, the fun guy from last year who was hitting all the threes, one of the, you know, these leading scorer type guys, he's just leaving. AJ Storr, if he doesn't go to the NBA, he's leaving too. They're constantly now having to go find guys who are in the transfer portal. And I think that that's great, because I don't think guard can find a freshman and coach him to make him better. He should find guys who already are. And the Stanford kid they just grabbed, he's he's going into his fifth year, I think. You think he already played 4 years at Stanford?
Well, by those numbers you gave me, he's already as good as Brian Butch.
No, not at all. Brian Butch was great. But no,
Butch only averaged like 12.3 points his senior year.
But he had way more rebounds than this. I mean, like he did a lot, and his defense was stellar. He was really, really good. I mean, like not amazing. He wasn't Kaminsky or anything like that, but he was good.
Okay.
So I'll say that. But
talk me off that ledge.
Yeah.
And how do you know this guy from Stanford's that good at defense? Have you ever seen him before?
No, he's gonna be fine.
What's his name?
I can't find it now. Yeah, I retweeted it. You can find it at Not So Humble Host. You can find it there. I've definitely retweeted it.
Oh, and I'm at Cheddar Talk, by the way. I don't think we said that during the intro. We're both very tired. We had spring break sucked.
So many things.
Anyways, I mean, it was awesome, but it sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep.
But you know, that's where it is with the Badgers. This just kind of ended where it should have ended. And they're not going to fire guard with that. But I think that the sheer fact that all of his guys are just leaving him is something worth mentioning.
Telling.
It's problematic. So I'm just trying to find some other things. The Marquette Golden Eagles had a couple good wins, ones that we saw coming. But they did fall to NC State, and they lose by 9. I mean, they pull away at the end there, but
well, at least you want to lose to a team that's in the Final Four.
Yeah.
So at the time, it was like, oh, they lost to 11 NC State. Well, NC State is in the Final Four, so that makes you feel at least it's legit. Then, if NC State would have went on to lose its next game by 40, like James Madison did, that makes you feel a little bit worse. But NC State's they're on a destiny run right now. So,
yeah. And I feel, I don't know. You got to worry to a certain extent. What is this team next year? Like that's what I don't know with this Marquette team. Cause you know, Iguodaro, he gone, right. You know, just, he will not be there next year. Kulik, he's definitely going, right. I mean, he was the best player in the Big East, basically 2 years in a row. Iguodaro, he's after the COVID and everything, so I don't think he can be back. He's a senior. You do have Ben Gold, who is an absolute liability in terms of his defense. Joplin is a junior. I think he'll probably be back. He's got a good NBA type game though, but we'll see what happens there. I don't think he's gonna be a high pick or anything, so he's gone. Kulik is a senior, and well, I guess those are the two big seniors, are Iguodaro and Kulik, and then what you've got left is a team with Cam Jones, who's a junior if he stays. Stevie Mitchell, he's a junior if he stays, and yeah, we'll see how that is. But without Kulik, that's a whole different team. And if you're starting Ben Gold instead of Iguodaro, that's a massive change to the entire way your team runs. It's just a massive change. It's not close between the two of them. So I don't know. Your thoughts on the way that Marquette ended? I guess I had them picked the Final Four, and a little of that was wish casting because they've been fantastic.
Well, I did too, and without I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, John. Just okay. A little bit. I promise I'll be quick. I had Marquette as well in the Final Four, and then this NC State buzzsaw. Like I was looking him up real quick because I was going to bring up the kid that I forgot his name that they're talking about drafting into the NFL, much like Antonio Gates. But like I forgot that NC State beat North Carolina just to get into the field of 64, and then they took out Texas Tech right away, barely beat Oakland, and then beat Marquette, and then beat Duke. So like they're a legit team. It makes me feel better, like I said at the time. And DJ Burns is the kid I was talking about from NC State. He looks like a defensive lineman playing basketball. and that's why, like, I forget, I'm not going to waste anybody's time right now, but if you want to, he's 6'9", like 280 pounds. And so they're talking about like, He's right here. Panthers wire, Final Four, local star DJ Burns Jr. garnering attention from NFL execs. You know, like it's a fun watch. They're a fun team. It makes me feel better about Marquette losing to them in the long run. Marquette had problems all year long. The Big East only had, you know, and there was the first loss that the Big East had in the tournament. They were 7-0 going into that one. Of course, now we're down to just UConn left from the Big East. Creighton also lost. So, but either way, Big East, good record in there. But it's all year long, there was all these problems. Like, if just this one player is not playing, the team sucks. If this one team's not playing, the team sucks. And, you know, some weird losses. They got as the number two seed because of some of their good wins, right?
Yeah, they were good most of the year.
But like you said, it's gonna be hard, and it makes you wonder if like is Shaka gonna stick around?
I think so. I don't think he's getting reason to leave.
He will too. But is there somewhere else he could go? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything with that. I wouldn't think he's going anywhere. If I were having a guess, I'd say he's staying there. He's going to try to find a way to rebuild some of these spots, and we'll see what they can do in terms of the recruiting. We haven't really touched on a lot of recruiting stuff here.
Transfer porter, too. I mean,
yeah.
This is a new world. You don't know who's going to be available after this tournament. And also another reason, not to go backwards, but also why maybe guard is past his time. You know, Saban got out the greatest college coach, maybe ever. Saban got out of the game because he's like, I can't do this.
It's so hard.
But yeah. I mean, but everyone's saying that too, though. You have to have a different mindset. It's like, I don't know. Marquette could have three players in a month that we have that aren't even on the radar, that aren't even in the transfer portal yet.
Here's the fun story with the transfer portal. The guy the Badgers just got. Out of Stanford, 6'8", 240 pounds. Brandon Angel is his name. I should have remembered that name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just as good as Butch.
The fun story they had was, well, Butch is way taller. But they said they were guard and some assistants were on their way to go scout some players on the West Coast. They were going down to Chicago to get the flight out there. They got the word Angel was taking it. That's actually the very last scholarship the Badgers have. So they just turned around, got in the car, and drove back to Wisconsin because they're not going to go scout anybody else for anybody in the rest of things because they got him. Mm-hmm. He did play 4 years already. His freshman year, he played 17 games. He played 30 or more each of the last 3 years for Stanford. I mean, that's a good program.
All these kids right now have that COVID year, so they'll get to play that fifth year. So,
yeah, so he's got that. I guess Iguodaro could do that. If this guy can do it, then Iguodaro could come get a COVID year out of this too. I mean, he started out, he's averaged 4.7 rebounds per game last year, 13 points. He averaged 9.5 points his junior year and 4.5 rebounds. You know, he's a guy who can do some things. He actually shoots well. I saw the one that says he shoots like 44% from deep. I mean, 56% overall, but 44 from three. So that fits very well into the Wisconsin system. You got to be tall, but you also got to be able to shoot from everywhere on the floor because they're bigs. The bigs of Wisconsin have to shoot threes. So we'll see what he does there and see how the Wisconsin system works for what he's going to do. It's at least interesting. He's a decent player. It's not world-altering. He's not AJ Storr, but he's, you know, he's interesting.
Well, we could all use an angel now, couldn't we, John?
Yeah, just a little angel here and there. But yeah, so that's what we got for all of that. The other good news we have, of course, is that Wisconsin women's team actually looked pretty good in the women's NIT. They did not make the tournament because they were not particularly good, but this is, I believe, the first season for their head coach. Mm-hmm. They fired the coach. We talked about this a little bit last year. They did
first postseason appearance in 15 years, I believe, I heard.
Okay. That sounds familiar. Because
I don't know why. Not, tried to do a Cher impression there. And do you believe in life after love?
Yeah, the women's basketball team has not been particularly good at Wisconsin for quite some time.
With a lot of very strong women's programs,
it's weird. This is their first year with the new coach. Did well. Had some players who actually had been in the program for a while. I believe they had somebody who reached they had some players who did get several milestones. So it was interesting. Marissa Mosley, who was her first year here. Last year was, I didn't see the names there. But yeah, no, her first year here. So it's a good start. It's something to build on. And not only did they get into the NIT, which isn't that big a deal necessarily, but they played well and got into. They
it's
were
a big deal when your team's not been good for two decades. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like
it's a building block.
It means you're a middling team in the Big Ten instead of a doormat team in the Big Ten. So you're a middling team, and if you play well in the NIT, it bodes well. It gives you some extra practice time and helps boost your confidence that you were one of the better teams that didn't make it. And come back next year a little more prepared or a little older, whatever you got to get to get to that next level. So, you know, it's going to bear watching. This team is going to, you know,
we all forget we're adults and like we don't have the time to watch stuff anymore. And
I still find it.
Could you imagine when we were in high school with the ability to see things online, like. We'd only see NIT if, you know, you had beyond basic cable, which we didn't. I had on-air TV, so I just was I got to watch what was ever on TV. I mean, kids nowadays, it can watch anything. Like, and so exposure is everything. Like, get into the NIT. This actually surprised me about some of these major programs that turned down the NIT. It's like, it's still exposure. It's a game. Some kid somewhere in Minot, North Dakota, who's in eighth grade, who's already 6'7", going on 7 foot by the time he's not in sixth grade. That was really bad math. But either way, so like he might be the next star out of North Dakota that you don't even know. Like he's watching your team in the NIT, and he likes your jerseys, and all of a sudden becomes a fan. I have a friend. Who's a huge fan of the Carolina Panthers because of that run that they made when we were kids. Remember, that's who the Packers had to beat.
Oh, that one.
When both Jacksonville and Carolina made the NFC and AFC championship games in their second years. And he's still a Panthers fan to this day because the Panthers was second or third year.
They had Kevin Green on that team. It was their second year.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's still a Panthers fan to this day. He's mostly he's somewhat a Packers fan because he knows the Panthers aren't a good deal. But anyways, he still cheers for them to this day because he remembers that when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's exposure. Like,
yeah,
the women were in the NIT, some girl somewhere, maybe the next Caitlin Clark.
We'll see.
Saw that, and hopefully she's on your team. It's a 1 in a million chance, but if you don't play, you can't win.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
The other thing we've got is we have the beginning of the baseball season. We want to get into this more next week. We won't have as much basketball to talk about because there'll be no more college stuff for us to say. But, you know, the Brewers are 4-0, and the big fun parts of this are Yelich is back so far. And I think he is back because of the way he played at the end of the last year, I really think he's finally worked his swing back to something he's comfortable doing. And I think he's got a lot of his power back. He's already got 2 home runs in 4 games. He's on pace for 81.
Yes. Great math.
He's hitting well. He was hitting for power and hitting for, you know, he's getting on base. He's finding ways on base. Churio looks fantastic. Terang had 3 stolen bases in a game in the second game, I believe.
You know that Terang put on like 25 to 30 pounds of just solid muscle this offseason?
Yeah. He is the most amazing glove.
Have you seen a game yet, or have you just been listening?
No, I've been doing both.
He noticeably bigger.
Yeah.
Because Lesser was like, who pulled the sophomore off the JV team to play second base? He's really good. I'm not going to complain about the performance, but this kid is skinny as heck. You know, so, yeah, he put on some weight, man, and he's fast.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, is his glove amazing, though. Just the plays he makes out there, just
insane. I like that they list Churio as a right fielder slash second baseman. You're not going to touch second base. Like, Terang's going to be good.
Given his days off, but, yeah, either way. Yeah. So the hitting's been fine. The pitching, which is going to be the thing that's going to define this team this year, how far they can go, it's quite honestly going to be the pitching. Pecota, the prospectus, they project the Brewers to finish third with 79 wins behind an 80-win Cubs team. They think the Cardinals win 85. A lot of that seems reasonable. The Cardinals did go out and get some guys. They have Sonny Gray's a Cardinal now. They went out and added pitching, which was the biggest problem on that team last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a good team. They're going to have to deal with that. The Cubs are rebuilding like we are. Brewers, Woodruff's gone now for however long. I think they said, I don't know, he's injured. I think he's done for the year.
Yeah.
And Burns is somewhere else.
Peralta's our ace, so, yeah.
And Peralta looked great in that first game, and he finished off striking two of the last three in that last inning, too, I believe. I think he struck out, was it four of his last five or six outs before getting out of the sixth to get them to the bullpen. Bullpen looked okay, except for the one oops with Milner. They decided to go with the lefty-lefty matchup, and Beatty took him deep on the very first pitch to make it a game. Like, the Brewers were demolishing the Mets until that moment. And, and then Milner just took care of the rest of the inning. But one pitch, the very first pitch, pulling Miller out of the game just to get that lefty-lefty matchup. I don't know. We'll see how the managing goes this year. That's the other thing Pecota's mentioned, is that, without having Counsell there, does that cost them games? And I don't know. My initial impressions after four games are, man, he loves playing the old school percentage stuff. Like, ooh, I got to go get me a lefty now. Oh, they're pitching well, but got to go get a lefty. Or I got to do this. Or this is the time where we're going to bunt things. And I don't know. Some of it just...
I don't know, John.
Like, I don't know yet. It's four games.
Maybe drunk David Stern is now drunk. Sorry. He's always...
Arnold.
Yeah, drunk at Matt Arnold will correct me on this one. But I think it's a weird thing. Like, if we get a cross between Murphy and Counsell, for how many times Counsell did things and left people in there versus how, if Murphy's going to move them quick. I mean, right now the Brewers are 4-0.
Yeah.
With a run differential of 17-10.
Yeah.
They've given up the least amount of runs in all of baseball to this point, and they're barely ahead of the bottom of the league for runs scored. So, I mean, they're through four games. But the pitching stats been great, except for like what you said right there.
And you lose Woodruff and you lose Devin right away. Devin's gonna be back. His isn't long term, but
he'll be back in a couple months. At least he didn't punch a wall this time to be out for a while, and right. It wasn't before the playoffs. And Uribe looks like Uribe and Piampas will be the bullpen is good.
Piguero, and him Uribe look fine. They're all going to be just fine back there.
Yeah,
Colin Ray with a very good start. Yeah.
They have the arms and they can do it. Like, this is a young team. I mean, Churio is, some would argue he should still not even be in the major leagues yet. Like, he should still be doing some more time in the minors. But we pulled him up fast. Friedlich's up here. Hoskins is for real. Whether it was just because it was the Mets and he hates the Mets. I like that edge. This team's got an edge to it that we've never seen. We have a real first baseman for the first time since Prince Fielder.
Well, having Carlos Santana there in the back part of last year I will
let you have that. That's a good assessment. But I mean, Friedlich, me and you were at his debut last year.
We were. That was fantastic.
That guy's got a ton. Yelich is on it. Ortiz at third base. I mean, I don't know. It's early. But, this could all implode, too, at the same time. Mm-hmm. Adames looks good. Contreras behind the plate is, that dude's unbelievable. He's a great number two hitter. The team's got it. Like, and everyone, if they want to talk about payroll being low, payroll is low, but you got Trujillo on an 8-year, $82 million deal, which is the biggest deal for someone who never played a major league game in their life. I hope it works out. Granted, that's going to have to be renegotiated sometime as an all-star, but I like the youth movement. It's like the Packers, the youth movement. If you can't be the Yankees, if you can't be the Red Sox, if you can't be the Dodgers, if you can't sign these guys who are established major league players who you can give them giant deals, go youth movement and build it up and run it out. Like, don't try and be the team that just recycles all the people that the Yankees don't want anymore. Like, that was my youth. Like, after Molitor and Yount, like, it was just like, here's all the people who played in the league for 5 years, 7 years, and they didn't work out anywhere else, but we have to put together a major league team. We're not going to bring up our minor leaguers and just let it fly, and just let it fly. It's like the Packers. It's just like the Packers wide receiving core. Let's just let it fly. See what happens. And it works out. Sometimes it does. Yeah. As long as you have talent in place to identify, as long as you have scouts in place to identify talent when they come up, like, it's an okay venture to do. And I think the Brewers, I really do think that a lot of the people on the team that they have now are, and we have to trust them. They have drafted well. Outside of Yelich, Contreras was a trade. Outside of Yelich, most of it's all homegrown. All of our success comes from homegrown for the most part. Or devious trades,
Sneaky. Yeah.
Sneaky.
All right. Yeah. Next
Atlanta,
week,
you have two catchers and you don't want the other one. We'll take Contreras. That sounds good. We'll
give you nothing. All right. Well, next week, as we said, Wendy Medeiros will be here. So we'll have her to talk a little bit more baseball with, and she's excited and we're excited to have her. She's a fantastic guest. We've had her on the show for a number of years, just, not last year, because she was busy getting married and stuff and all that.
No, bull.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, we're just going to wrap up the last couple little stories we have here in the segment of our show that we lovingly call Our Last Call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
So we do have an end to a couple seasons here. Badger women's hockey got back to the national championship game, where they played Ohio State again, and 12:48 into the third period, they give up the only goal of the game. Badger women lose 1-0.
Yeah, we watched the whole thing. It was really hard.
Rough game, but they played great. It's been a fantastic season. Those two teams are so good. This Ohio State team, really, just over the last 4 years, has built something incredibly impressive. It was Wisconsin-Minnesota just forever. And this Ohio State team has built themselves into something impressive and wonderful. And, they definitely, they worked their way through this. They've won. They beat Wisconsin three out of five during the, regular season plus Big Ten playoff WCHA playoff.
They were a problem. Yep. They were always a problem.
They were really good and they did fantastically. And that was just, it was a good game. They just came out. Ohio State comes out on top and they are the national champions in women's hockey. Men's hockey was
no shot to the women's team.
They played great.
You just said, but Ohio State was really
everybody Ohio thought they were going to win last year.
Wisconsin women's hockey has been the most consistent winning team. I was going to say organization, but program at UW right now, mm-hmm. I think, except for maybe volleyball. No, they're better than volleyball.
Yeah, they've been better. They've got more titles. I mean, women's volleyball has been consistently there. They, you know, just them and Nebraska over the last couple of years kind of vying for that right. And, you know, they got one national title the other year. The last 2 years fell just short, but they keep getting into the Final Four. They keep fighting their way in. They've been great. But, yeah, women's hockey, now that UConn doesn't win women's basketball every single year, this might be the most consistently great women's program in sports.
Yeah.
Good. They're in their conversation.
That's what I meant to say. Thank you.
Yeah. I think just of not just Wisconsin women, but maybe in all collegiate sports. I don't know. I haven't watched enough women's lacrosse to know, I guess. I'm sorry.
They're like the Hermantown of women's Division I hockey.
That's what I was going to say. I wasn't going to say that, but I'll agree with you. I'm sure you know that part better than me.
The Hermantown's been in every single final for like the last 20 years. They've only won like three of them, but anyhow, it's D2 Minnesota hockey. Shut up, Aaron. John, go ahead. Fine.
The one that's more hurting is the Badger men lose in the very first round of the NCHAs or NCAAs. Pardon me. I was first off upset that they lost to Ohio State in the first round of the Big Ten playoffs. They should have won that one. Ohio State's team, Wisconsin, need to beat.
Come on.
Yeah, not in men's hockey. They shouldn't have lost that one. That was terrible. After the season they had, to lose that was massively upsetting. But they get Quinnipiac in the first round as the 2 seed. And so they get Quinnipiac, who's the 4 in their bracket. They're 16 teams total. Give up a goal in the first to Christophe Filion from Christophe Tellier and Zach Tupker. So Quinnipiac gets the early 1-0 lead. The Badgers come back, score the next 2 from Quinn Finley and Joe Palatichuk. And then this is the best. I hadn't really gone over this name. Victor Chernekianer. Easy for me to say. He gets the goal in the second period and gets the goal in overtime to give Quinnipiac the win. So the Badger men go out in the very first game of the men's hockey playoffs. They were in a tough pull. I mean, they had BC was the next one, and Quinnipiac was right there at BC. So it's a tough one to get through. BC was so good this year. The Badgers were there with them. The Badgers were ranked number one at one point. There was a point where men and women were both ranked number one at the same time. But, you know, I really believe in Hastings. I think that once he starts pulling a lot more of his guys, he did pull Simone Tassi along from Minnesota State Mankato. And that was a good one there. We'll see which guys end up going off to the NHL. Desan Fowle, I believe, is obviously on his way out. He was a senior this year. I guess he could come back for a COVID year if he really wants to. Mm-hmm. But it was a good run by the Badgers for a team that last year didn't make the playoffs and was finishing towards the bottom of the Big Ten to be the second to finish second in the regular season Big Ten and to have beaten some really good teams this year and make the playoffs again where they belong was very good to see, and we're very happy to see that.
It's a huge turnaround. I mean, just three years ago, it was like, what's going on with Wisconsin hockey?
Oh, yeah.
And they fired, what's his name? Help me. I do that to you. It's so bad. Like,
I can see his face. Granato. Yeah.
Granato, thank you. It puts you on the spot right there. Quinnipiac University, which only has 6,200 undergraduate students in Hamden, Connecticut. But they completely they pulled it around. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a big quick turnaround.
To put into an NFL comparison, is what the Packers did this year with Jordan Love. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we just completely wholesaled.
They were a rebuild
that's not really a rebuild because it didn't have to be a rebuild because all the young players were there, and we're gonna pull this together quick. We're gonna the coach is good, he's great, and hey, now we're here, and yeah, it sucks that you lose to Quinnipiac University from Hamden, Connecticut, with 6,200 undergraduates, but Yeah, no, I'm glad Wisconsin hockey's on the up and up because it got kind of dark there for about 5 years.
It did. After they had the one good run when they had Cole Caulfield and you know all that, but then it's good to look better. They look good and they look disciplined. They had a plan. They moved the puck well. They played good defense.
Maybe that's the reason why the basketball team needs to get past Greg Gard too. Like just start over. Sometimes you need a hot wash.
Yeah. The only other news we have here is the Badger wrestling team. They finished up at the they finished 18th. Right behind West Virginia, right ahead of Little Rock and Rutgers. Eric Barnett finishes fourth, which is his third straight All-American finish.
I'd like to point him out.
Yeah, well, he had the highest finish of any Badger wrestler. He's finished eighth. Yeah, that's true, too. Leads the league in last name. He's finished eighth, seventh, and fourth now nationally over the last 3 years. He's a senior. So he finishes fourth. Joseph Zargo at 149. He goes 1-2. He gets a point and a half for the Badgers. Loses the first one, fights his way back to get a win in the consolation bracket. And then round two of the consolation bracket loses to the 20th seeded Oklahoma State wrestler Jordan Williams. Dean Hamidi, who was Big Ten champion, won his first two, lost in the quarterfinal, and then went down to the consolation bracket. He was the 5 seed, lost to the 4 seed, then lost to the 7 seed. Izak Olenek out of Oklahoma State again, the 7 seed, in a 9-6 decision.
It's good at wrestling.
Really. Yeah, they're good at wrestling.
Oh, it's good at wrestling.
So he gets some points there. Max Maylor at 174 gets a half point for the Badgers. He loses right away in the first round, fights back, and gets a win in the consolation bracket against the 33rd seed out of Arizona State, Cale Valencia. That's a fantastic name. He should go to the WWE with that name. I'm Cale Valencia. No, I don't know if his voice sounds like that. Yeah, something. But then he ends up losing to the 18th seed, Benjamin Pasiuk, out of Army, in the second round of the consolation bracket. Shane Legal wins the first round.
Why isn't he deployed? We're undermanned overseas right now.
Yeah, get him out there. Yeah. Shane Legal wins in this first round, gets the win over Bennett Berg of South Dakota State, but then ends up losing the second round of the championship bracket and then loses in consolation to the 11th seed Dylan Fishback. Fishback, that's not a pro wrestling name. That's just a weird name. Max Maylor, that's a name.
That's good. I like that. That's good. That's a strong name.
Yeah, Fishback. All right, that's all we've got this week. Aaron, do you have anything else to add?
It's like, I'm from Oklahoma State. Why am I good at wrestling? Because, you know, wrestling pigs my whole life. And I can get somebody with long limbs, I'll turn them over.
I'll get them. Yeah. All right.
Weird Oklahoma and Iowa and, are good at wrestling. Pennsylvania, too.
Yeah, because Penn State is your national champion this year again.
Yeah, that's because they have to have strong arms to get that coal out of the ground.
And they got Cale Sanderson's their coach, right?
Cale Sanderson from Iowa State. That was the guy that went undefeated all the way through college. Yeah, he is wrestling immortality.
Yeah.
But, that makes sense. It's one of the few sports where someone who's really good at the sport usually turns out to be a really good coach because
it's so technical. Yeah.
Well, there's no professional to it. I mean, unless you're, what's his name of the WWE?
Oh yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. The Real American or whatever. He was like the Olympic champion guy.
I can see he has a meme right now where he stares into your eyes.
Yeah,
Kurt Angle. Jesus Christ.
There we go.
Yeah, Kurt Angle was actually a really good wrestler. There's actually been quite a few really good wrestlers that era in the WWE. Brock Lesnar is one of them. Benjamin, another one. Both out of Minnesota. Both of them were. Mm-hmm. But of course, either way, there's no ego And so you usually go on to coaching afterwards. So makes sense that Cal Sanders.
And the other thing that's different is like a lot of good football players can't tell you how they do anything.
Yeah.
Wrestling's a very technical thing where you, if you know how you're doing something, you have been working on a very specific thing.
And not only that, but if you do something one way, you can identify like what if one of your wrestlers are good at something else, that's something you've faced. So you can tell them to do it the same way.
Yeah.
So it's why catchers are really good at being managers.
Yeah. Very true.
Because they see the whole game. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again, everybody.
And why Bart Starr sucked as being a head coach.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another wonderful week of Wisconsin sports. We'll be back next week, like we said. Thank you for joining us, whether you are in Wisconsin, across the United States, or around the world. We're always grateful for having you with us. Remind you that we are on all the different social medias. You can find us at Scotty Johnny Pod, whether you're on X or you're on Blue Sky or you're on Mastodon. It's all the same thing. You can find me on there. It's Not So Humble Host on Twitter. You can find Aaron at Cheddar Talk Twitter. Just go ahead and find us. Follow all the different things we put up there about Wisconsin sports. That's really all I put up on X at any point. So, but we also like to remind you as we wrap up another week that whether you are on the town or on the go, it's always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.